front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Hey everyone, it's Dave, and welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? A podcast for all of us about everything. Science, scientific discovery, and the joy of learning new things, and perhaps into other things as well. On today's show, I found an article I wanted to share with you. It's from the BBC, and it's back from July of 2022, actually the 6th of July. And it's called COVID Origin Study Says Evidence Points to Wuhan Market. It's by Victoria Gill, a science correspondent to the BBC. So I will put a link to it in my show notes. You're more than welcome to read the article, and I'm sharing it with you because I find it really interesting when we find things out about society and how science, and we get all mixed up in the whole principle of how we think about society and how we think about things. And, you know, a myth propagates that somehow the COVID virus came from a lab, and, you know, it kind of got out of control, and people started to believe that over scientific evidence that pointed up to the contrary. So this article kind of reviews all that. So now what it says is scientists say there is compelling evidence that Wuhan's Huanan Seafood and Wildlife Market was the center of the COVID-19 outbreak. Two peer-reviewed studies published on Tuesday re-examined information from the initial outbreak in the Chinese city. One of the studies shows that the earliest known cases were clustered around the market. The other uses genetic information to track timing of the outbreak. It suggests there were two variants introduced into humans in November or early December of 2019. Together, the researchers say this evidence paints a picture that SARS-CoV-2 was present in live mammals that were sold at the Huanan market in late 2019. They say it was transmitted into people who were working or shopping there in two separate spillover events where a human contracted the virus from an animal. One of the researchers involved, virologist Professor David Robertson from the University of Glasgow, told BBC News that he hoped the studies would correct the false record that the virus came from a lab. 2 years of scientific effort to understand the virus that causes COVID-19 had provided these researchers with a more informed perspective. This has enabled them to address a key conundrum in the earliest patient data, that out of hundreds of people who were hospitalized with COVID-19 in Wuhan, only about 50 had direct traceable link to the market. And actually, it's interesting, as an aside, there's a graph that they show on here that kind of shows where the population base was. They did a good job of giving you this idea of where all the people contracted it or where they were identified. That was really puzzling, that most cases could not be linked to the market, said Professor Robertson. But knowing what we know about the virus now, it's exactly what we would expect, because many people only get very mildly ill, so they would be out there in the community transmitting the virus to others, and the severe cases would be hard to link to each other. This COVID-19 case mapping research found that a large percentage of early patients with no known connection to the market, meaning that they neither work nor shop there, did turn out to live near it. This supports the idea that the market was the epicenter of the epidemic, says Professor Michael Warraby, the lead author and biologist from the University of Arizona, with the sellers getting infected first and setting off a chain of infections among community members in the surrounding area. In a city covering more than 3,000 square miles, the area with the highest probability of containing the home of someone who had one of the earliest COVID-19 cases in the world was an area of a few city blocks, with the Wuhan market smack dab inside of it, said Warraby. The study also zoomed in on the market itself. The scientists created a map of the samples, swabs of fluid from drains on the market stalls that tested positive for the virus. Most of the positive samples clustered around the southwestern side of the market, explained Professor Robertson, and that's the location where we report species like raccoon dogs being sold. So we have confirmation of animals we now know are susceptible to SARS-CoV-2, the first virus that causes COVID-19, were sold there in 2019. Over the last 2 years, the search for the origin of the deadly pandemic turned from a scientific investigation into a toxic political row. And they put a link there to a BBC documentary on the hunt for COVID-19's origins. One of the subjects of the fierce international blame game, primarily between politicians in the US and China, was a theory that the virus could have been leaked from a Wuhan laboratory, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But that hypothesis, says Professor Stuart Neal from King's College, can't explain the data. We're now as sure as we can be, based on the fragmentary evidence we do have, that this was a spillover event that happened in the market. Crowded, live animal markets, many scientists agree, provide the ideal transmission hotspots for new diseases to spill over from animals. And between 2017 and 2019, to the beginning of the pandemic, a separate study shows there were nearly 50,000 animals of 38 different species were sold at the market in Wuhan. Professor Neal says the pandemic was very likely to have been a consequence of the unhealthy, cruel, and unhygienic practice that Chinese authorities had been warned about. The major risk of being distracted by looking for someone in a laboratory to blame for all of this, he added, is we run the risk of letting this happen again because we focused on the wrong problem. I just thought that was really an interesting way to look at what happened. When you stop and think about how this all comes together, and you know, how we decided to find the simplest theory and go with it and blame someone, it's just sad because there's a more likely explanation. First of all, we, as Westerners, generally don't know what these markets are like. Have you ever been to a market in China, in a part of China where there's not a lot of Western ideals, where you see animals and you see things and it's essentially unhygienic? I admit I've never been there either, but I watch a lot of these travel shows where people go into some of these types of markets and you see them and you go, I would never eat food from there. Because it just looks, you know, everything's out and there's flies and there's animals and there's this and there's that. And it just doesn't seem like it's, you know, that well thought out or regulated. And, you know, you could see how it would be easy to potentially get sick there. And with all of the animals and the other things that are being caged there, held there, sold there, there's certainly the possibility that any one of them could be sick and could cause an issue. If you've never listened to it, the story of how the AIDS epidemic got started and how it led from monkeys into humans, and there's a whole interspliced story there. It's really, really fascinating because we just assumed something, right? We didn't understand what happened. And when we went back and looked at it scientifically and started to understand what happened there exactly, we really got a better feel for how this all came together and how the AIDS epidemic got started. And when you see that and you hear it and you think about it, you realize, now I understand how something like that could come to be. And when you hear something like this, you realize it's in that same sort of thing where we interact with animals and we don't think about the consequences necessarily, and whatever diseases they manage to pick up for whatever reason can be transmitted to us in some way. And it's just kind of interesting. And since this happened to be an airborne illness, certainly has the possibility of affecting us in some way. So anyway, it's just interesting. I find it really kind of fascinating that people go back and look at these things and try to understand them and dispel the myth that somehow, you know, the easiest solution has got to be it, right? It's the one, oh, must have come from a lab. When in fact, that's probably a more complicated solution than it would be an easier one. People assume it's an easier one because it makes sense to just tie a bow on it and go, that's the end of it. That's the thing. When we stop and think about, especially viruses, we don't really, we understand how they transmit and whatnot, but we don't really understand how they mutate and how they work and how they go and how they get into society. And, you know, this one broke the barrier and actually was able to be transmitted to a human and then mutated again and found a way to continue to be prolific and continue to go through humans and built a spike protein that actually became more deadly to humans. And we were unprepared for that. And we had an idea for how to deal with it if it should happen, but we still really weren't prepared for what we should do in that case. And then people decided to make it political instead of realizing that this is a virus, and viruses don't care. Nature doesn't care. It doesn't care what politics you have in front of you. It's just going to propagate the way it's going to propagate, and it's going to find a way. Nature always finds a way. So it mutated and did other things. And to be honest, the pandemic isn't over yet, in spite of what some people will tell you. It's still a risk. Maybe it's a limited risk at this point. Maybe there's not as much probability that it'll be as deadly, but there is still a possibility that it will mutate again, and the virus will continue to propagate, and we'll find a new way to get out there. So we just have to be aware of that and stay ahead of it and continue to think about what that means and be smart and live our lives reasonably, but realize that there's a possibility that this one could mutate again, or potentially there could be something else that comes along later and mutates and again affects us in a similar way. And we just have to be prepared for that, not put so much politics in front of it, and just go, you know what? If we understand this and we do the right things around it, We can still live a productive life and not have to worry about it so much, but be a little smarter about being good citizens and helping each other out. Anyway, that's my podcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, if we can dream it, we can always do it.
What's your point, David?